Here they are. We get our first opportunity to talk to them. The new tag team on the block of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Impressive they are, the Gangstas. New Jack.
Let me tell you something. 30 years ago, we would have been strung up in somebody's tree, getting hung for beating two white boys the way we just did. But now, you might want to come out here and put some belts on us, but the only belts we going to be wearing around here is the tag team belt. Let me tell you something. I don't like being up here. I was getting out of my car. I slipped and fell. It's a tobacco spit. And you know what I'm saying? Nothing but rednecks up here. Nothing but geeks up here. Nothing but coal miners up here. Chicken farmers, Klansmen. I don't like nobody but my partner. You understand? I don't care who you line up in front of me. I'm going to show you how bad New Jack and Mustafa is. You want to talk about violence? Violence to you might be putting somebody in a figure four. Violence to me is taking a can of gas and pouring it on you and setting you on fire. Like me or not, I didn't come up here to be like. I came up here to get paid. And whoever you put in front of me, I'm going to drop you down. I'd like to send a special shout out to my homeboy, OJ Simpson. Keep up the good work, baby. Two less we got to worry about. You understand? Keep up the good work. Louis Farrakhan will be the next president. Yeah. Snoop Dogg, we know you're innocent. You called me last night. You understand? Get ready, Smoky Mountain, because we're going to set this place on fire.
All right, fans, there they are. The team to be heard from is Smoky Mountain Wrestling. New Jack, Mustafa Saeed, the Gangstas. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Colt Cabana, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass Choppy. What kind of name is Choppy? Ugh.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Episode, was this, 406, 405, one of those.
Anyway, one of those.
One of those. Anyway, we, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we're live on the Rant, but we're pre-recorded.
we're live to tape.
We're live to tape. RantEMRadio.com, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. I am Phil.
I'm Jay.
And that's Jay. And let's play Jay's music. I haven't played Jay's music in two episodes, I think. Let's play it.
See, it kind of pales in comparison to Nacho Born Killers. Though.
Oh no, I mean we're not comparing at all.
You play that, but I mean this is pretty good, though.
Of course it is. We announced on the last episode that New Jack had passed away.
Yeah, we were completely
breaking news. Breaking news here at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Yeah,
we completely thrown off by it. So.
Yeah, as we speak, we're watching the WrestleMania Backlash pay-per-view.
Worst name ever for
worst name ever. I agree, Jay. Yeah. I agree. You know, there was a lot of mixed emotions. I was telling Jay in pre-production on the way here about New Jack's passing, and I, you know, friend of the show Joel Gertner, who was really close with Jack, apparently, dropped some knowledge on us about how really decent of a person he is if you knew him. Paulie's very captivating.
When
Talking Smack went off the air,
I went out of my way to catch that because Heyman is another polarizing figure. I mean, we'll get into the New Jack stuff, but Heyman's an interesting one to talk about with this because how many people he is essentially wronged, in this business. It's up there. So I know people were talking about if it's crocodile tears or whatever. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think what he's feeling is legit, but I think how it does come across is two different things. Because it does kind of seem like he's doing that for the camera. But I think what he said was a great thing. He was talking about how he thought it was a ruse and he thought New Jack was just going to come back and just go, gotcha, I really thought it was good. But he's definitely absolutely polarizing to be doing a eulogy type thing.
You know how I knew it was legit? Because New Jack never worked for the company.
Yeah.
And the fact that they even let him give him mic time for that on their waves.
Well, you like that you'd think that Heyman requested it. And Heyman's, you know, I mean, you hate to say that Heyman is genuine. I don't know if that's the right word. In this scenario, I think
you know what?
Genuine.
People ask me all the time if I had a chance to have lunch or interview somebody in the business, you know, what would be my first choice that are alive? And I said Paul Heyman, and people looked at me like I was crazy. And Jay used this word twice, three times if you count pre-production. He used the word polarizing about New Jack and about Paul Heyman. And, I mean, you could do an entire podcast about Paul Heyman by himself, the master, the mad genius, they call them. But, I think Paul Heyman, all the guys that he's wronged, ironically, are still cool with him. And it's funny how people, I mean, they admitted in all these shoe videos, you know, I got bounced checks and in between Rhino and everybody else. I think he still owes Tommy Dreamer like 30 grand or 50 grand or 100 grand, whatever it is. Tommy kept a tally of what Paul owed him.
Yeah.
I thought that was outstanding.
By the way, the Mysterios just went one with Dominic just hit the worst frog splash.
I did like that super kick he hit Ziggles with before.
Yeah.
He hit it on
Bobby Roode, the most underrated, undervalued guy on the roster.
Yeah, Dominic's real green. He's going to have to work at that, but good for him.
We called that. But anyway.
We definitely called that. Thank you, Jay. Yep. Thank you for putting that in there. I thought it was, you could see legit he got choked up, and he normally doesn't, and he said that.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was pretty, you're hanging out with somebody for 20 years. You know somebody in wrestling. I mean, Jack got his start, his legit start in Smoky Mountain. We just played the promo of them in debuting in Smoky Mountain. But I mean, ECW was where him and I mean, I was at the arena when they jumped the public enemy. I was so mad. If I find the match, the program, I used to write the results as I was sitting there.
Okay.
Right? And I wrote gangsters. I went, fuckers. You're like, you know, I didn't like the gangsters at all because I had Public Enemy with my team, before I discovered the Eliminators. So, and you can watch the video. I'm in the video. I'm in the upper left-hand corner of the when they jump the Public Enemy. I was there. It was like 95. It was called Double Tables.
Hell yeah.
So, I legit. But New Jack was not a nice person.
Yeah, let's
call for what it is.
You got to call for what it is.
You know, he didn't get along with a bunch of people in the business. The mass transit thing didn't fucking put him in a good light. And then apparently he's got a child, a grown child who's trans, and he basically tuned her out. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you and then people were talking when Joel Gertner posted his post. people are like, well, what about that? What about me? You know, he committed a felony. What about the people he allegedly killed? And what about him? He's not. What about him doing that to his kid? And Joel's like, can we just let the guy rest for one day before you fucking, you know, dog him?
Well, I think Gertner said it the best, was that he goes, hey, listen, whatever happened, it is what it is. But he goes, can you let me mourn my friend first before? And, you know, I think there's a little truth to that. I said it to Phil, where it's like, you know, anything to further somebody's, you know, agenda. And, you know, I'm always somebody that goes, there's a time and place for stuff like that. I think if you're honoring your friend, you know, who Joel feels strongly for, he New Jack never stabbed him, you know. We could touch on the stuff that happened, and all we know, like the stuff with, you know, his kid who's trans, and if they lost, you know, they lost contact because his kid turned transitioned, whatever the vernacular is for that.
Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
All we know is that side of the story. We don't know New Jack's side. You know what I mean? Like, right. We don't know the relationship they had before that. So, it's so easy to cast him in that light. Once again, there's so many other things that New Jack has done that we know for sure he's done that we don't have to really assume assume that he did something. So that's the way I would look at something like that. So, you know, to attack him on somebody's social media post where he's trying to honor somebody that he and supposedly they just ate fairly recently together. They did.
And then Blue Meanie posted something too. Meanie were tight. That locker room was very unique. Anytime you saw Jack and Rob Feinstein posted a bunch of shit. Rob just hung out with him recently too.
Yeah.
And they posted a bunch of shit. Rob said he's been doing stuff with New Jack for years, and you know, Jack was good to him too, and whatever. But that locker room was unique. Those guys were tight, you know? And the other thing too was that Jack bared no he didn't hold anything back when it came to, you know, why didn't he work for WCW? Why didn't he work for WWE? And all this other shit. So it's like, you know, I don't know. You know.
Well, he's you know, what is he known for? Like, I mean, when you got a newer fans, you know, a generation, possibly even two generations behind us, which it's funny for me to say that on this side of it. They may only know New Jack for his shoot interviews. They never really seen him wrestle live, and they know the stories, obviously. But it's a tale of two different careers. He had his ECW, you know, independent wrestling career, and then he had his shoot interview wrestling career. Which, you know, it's two different things, I think. And it famous in one hand because his shoot interviews are great. they were unbelievably good.
Yeah, no, they're all gold. I mean, I wasn't a fan of his really at all, to the point where, I mean, I liked his some of his stuff was, I mean, promo wise was great.
Oh, it's just
was gold.
Yeah,
but the mass transit thing really fucking turned me off. And
well,
you know,
I mean, let's dive into that a little bit, because obviously there's a lot to be said about it. So obviously, I think his name was Eric. It's escaping me right now.
I'll bring it up.
I'll
bring it up.
17 years old.
Eric Coolis.
Eric Goulas, yeah, and he, you know, he's 17 years old. He came there with, I believe, with a friend, and his dad, obviously, apparently.
I'll bring it up right now. It was a house show in Revere, Massachusetts. 17-year-old Eric Coolis, an aspiring professional wrestler, used the name Mass Transit, because his dad was a bus driver, by the way,
yeah,
was seriously injured in a tag team match against the Gangsters. The most severe injury occurred when Coolis was bleeded deeply by Jerome New Jack Young, severing two of his arteries. Further controversy arose when it came to light that Coolis had lied to ECW owner and booker Paul Heyman about his age and professional wrestling training. The incident led to the inaugural ECW pay-per-view Bayley Legal being temporarily canceled and legal action from the Coolis family against Young due to Coolis's deception. However, Bayley Legal was reinstated, but they started at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
The incident was Axel Rotten was supposed to work a tag team match with D-Von against the Gangsters, but couldn't make the show due to a family emergency, traveling issues, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Coolis was 17, not 21, and was invited for a tryout. He told Paul Heyman he was 21. And allowed him to fill in for Rotten, saying that he wrestled for Killer Kowalski, who had a school nearby.
Yeah, right? Massachusetts, New England.
So a retired wrestler who ran a school. And I got, you know, we all know Killer Kowalski's. You know, so he had a mass transit, which is a Ralph Cramden-esque bus driver gimmick. Before the match, Coolis asked New Jack to blade him, and Jack agreed.
Well, and the way New Jack tells the story is that he's back there, you know, let me get some offense in. Like, he's, you got to look at it from the veteran wrestler, you know, who does this as a business, you know, who does it as a living, I should say. You know, you're going to come in here and try to disrespect what I do. You know, that type of stuff, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, that's neither here nor there, but that's the mindset. He goes, oh, yeah, I can blade you for sure, because he's feeling disrespected by this kid, essentially. He's 17. And God, it's brutal. I know you've been saying that you haven't seen it.
There's only camcorder video. They never made a home video of it, a fan cam. But I mean, when you look at it, it's crutches, toaster oven, like whatever he had, like, and this was like, and that's a thing too, Jay, where they had like a, that was commonplace with the weapons, you know, but when by the time he pummeled this kid, New Jack grabbed the microphone and shouted, "I don't care if this motherfucker dies, he's white and I don't like white people, I don't like working with people from Boston, and I'm the wrong N word to fuck with." According to New Jack's interview in an RF video shoot, he told Coolis this is not a good idea prior to the match. You know? I mean, what's fucked up is the kid wound up dying, too, from bariatric surgery complications.
Yeah, years later.
Years later. When bariatric surgery was more invasive when it first came out. I mean, I got it, like, almost 10 years after it came out. But
yeah.
When it first came out.
Now, which one did you get?
I got the sleeve.
The sleeve.
But even still, they'd cut you.
Yeah.
I went laparoscopically with a robot, right? Uh-huh. That's what they normally do now. I had an ex-girlfriend who passed away from that.
No shit.
Around the same time Eric Coolis did. It's just complications. So, you know, I mean, New Jack was, you know, was tried on assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. He was sued by the family.
So.
He was acquitted.
So, I find this interesting.
Oh, his punishment, Margassa.
Yeah. Here he comes. I find this, and the Army of the Dead, so WrestleMania Backlash is sponsored by Army of the Dead, the new movie from Netflix, and Batista's in it, so that's why that explains.
Oh, Big Dave, did they play the promo?
And it explains the fucking zombies. So we went from ninjas in 2020, and now we got zombies 2021.
That's why we can't have nice things.
Great, great booking, guys. but I find this interesting. So, you know, think of it. I like to look at things objectively. Obviously, what New Jack did is, I'm going to say it's over the top. I'm going to say borderline uncalled for. I'm even going to say it's unprofessional. But at the end of the day, this wouldn't have happened if the kid didn't put himself in this position.
Yeah, and what's fucked up too is when the medics were pulling him away. Tommy Dreamer intervened and apparently grabbed the kid's hand as they're wheeling him out, and the kid puts the middle finger up.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
And that's what I mean, like, and then he's going to sit there and then have the gall to sue New Jack because he's like, you know what? you know, because he was, I don't know, it's negligence on all parties involved. It's negligence on the kid, and once again, he passed away, so it's really hard to kind of cast stones. Wow, this is
crazy. So as Jay's explaining his as we're talking and we're watching the pay-per-view live,
the zombies are
all attacking. They're surrounding the ring with Miz. This is so stupid. What the hell is going on with Johnny
Drip?
What the hell is going on with his hair?
Oh, it just looks great.
That looks like a.
He looks like an eighties tag team wrestler.
Yeah. He looks like he went to Brian Pillman's hairstylist.
Oh, this is a lumberjack match.
It's a lumberjack zombie match. Lumberjack. Oh my god!
And then there was a zombie on the announce table. All the announcers had to leave, and you know they did really good acting there. I tell you, you know, Damian Priest was in a featured match in WrestleMania. Now here he is with zombies around the ring. So what I'm trying to get at with this is that it's hard to blame just New Jack. Now, once again,
I'm not blaming just New Jack.
Yeah, because that's what everybody's saying. Look what he did to this kid and this and that.
Well, because here's the deal. My only beef with all of this with New Jack, if I'm gonna play devil's advocate now, if after viewing the footage, right, from what we saw, from what I saw, I don't know if you saw it, he was legit battered.
Oh yeah,
and I thought Jack took advantage and just kept fucking pummeling him when he didn't have to.
Without a doubt.
So he took the character to the, which he usually does. Takes the character to the max. He does the big spots off the balconies. Brings out all the weapons in the shopping cart. I get it. But clearly this kid wasn't moving.
Yeah.
Clearly he was bleeding profusely. There's got to be a disconnect. If you're performing, you see that. But there's no disconnect with New Jack. That's how he was. Yeah. So, anyway.
But that's what I mean. Like, you know, Heyman should have done more. But this, it's a different time. This is what, 96, 95?
96.
You know, you just can't Google somebody at this point. You kind of got to take them at their word. And, you know, he lied about his age. You know, what is Heyman supposed to do? Let me see your ID. He's supposed to card him? Like, you know, there's so much that he could have done. You know, but like the lawsuit to me, I don't know. Like, it's just at that point, you know, it's a shame what happened, but you put yourself in that position. New Jack obviously shouldn't have gone that far. You know, he was completely taken advantage of him. But who's to say that New Jack didn't feel disrespected in any sort of way? However, even if it's, you know, irrelevant or, you know, overblown or what have you, but he was somebody, and that's how stuff was done. That's how stuff was handled. In the wrestling business, you know, if shit was going astray and you felt, you know, like that, you handled it in the ring. And like, if somebody wasn't selling your move and you're working, the guy's not selling or he's not selling to your liking or what have you, and you feel disrespected, you make him sell. You throw a shot in, and then you make him sell. It falls into that weird blurred line of, you know. If this wasn't inside the confines of wrestling, it would be completely illegal. And we're going to be saying that a lot about New Jack.
Yeah, no, I mean, his reputation was what it was, you know. We all know, he debuted in Smoky Mountain. I forgot how old he was. He was fucking almost pushing 60 years old.
Yeah, he was born in 63.
Yeah, he was raised by, he was, He was trained by Ray Candy.
Yeah, he didn't really start wrestling until 92. He was almost 29 years old, you know, at that point. And 28, 29, and he, you know, that's kind of late to start, but he had a great gimmick. You know, he really did. He was, you know, he was born in the South, and you know, he tells a story about when he was a kid, I think his father died when he was 5 or 6. And he tells a story about he remembers, which, you know.
Oh, you mean his dad stabbing his mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, you know, and not saying it didn't happen, but, you know, Phil, how many things do you remember when you were 5 years old?
That's the thing, though. I remember a lot. Not everything, but I can. My memory is great from that. I can't tell you what I had for dinner 3 days ago, though. That's the problem. I just had this conversation. I think I told you this when my grandma passed away a few weeks ago. I was with all her siblings, my mom and her siblings, and my two aunts were hanging out and in the hospital parking lot, and then we went to a Wawa like 2 a.m. after we left the hospital, and we're sitting in the their Wawas are ginormous like ours, but yeah. They have like tables and chairs outside and shit. I never saw that before. So we're all hanging outside. We're all hanging. Like, everybody's drinking coffee, and, you know, it's been a long day anyway. And somebody mentioned something from my childhood, and I was like, yeah, you were wearing an orange top. And my aunt looked at me like, you were fucking 7 years old. How do you know that? So I can remember shit from – I can remember how people smelled, how they looked, what I was wearing, what I was – so that's why I just started doing the podcast, because I can remember stuff from all my wrestling stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't – I could see him remembering shit like that.
Yeah,
though.
I listen. It's a
that's the point I was getting at. I could see him remembering him shooting his dad in the leg with a gun that his dad probably had there and whatever. His dad died a year later though.
Yeah.
So
well, that's what I mean. And you know, once again, I'm not saying it did or didn't. I just, you know, to me, some of those stuff, and it's a traumatic event, so I could definitely see how, you know, something like that could really just stick with you for sure. But and it clearly. Absolutely did, because you could see, you know, obviously what's happened, transpired in his life after then.
Yeah.
But he started in, you know, 92, 93, and he...
Well, he was in Georgia first.
Yeah.
He was in the USWA.
And then, he, you know, his big splash was in Smoky Mountain, where, you know, Cornette loved him. Cornette loved the fact that he was... how he was, and he was. It's a perfect place for somebody's of New Jack's. I guess charisma, his character.
No, Cornette took advantage of his promo skills, and also they needed a babyface tag team for the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah,
and that was pretty much how it was. You know, it wasn't a thing where he didn't pull any punches as Punishment Margasso beats the Miz with the help of the zombies.
I think the zombie just bit John Morrison, by the way.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So maybe that means Morrison will be a zombie by...
Oh, and so is The Miz now. The Miz
did his wife make her debut? Yeah, I think it's next week, right? What's her name? Taya Valkyrie?
Frankie...
She's Frankie something now, right?
Yeah. I always want to say Frankie Valli, but it's not that.
No, that's the Four Seasons. But anyway...
Frankie Monet.
Frankie Monet. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. But yeah, I... you know, that's where he made his biggest splash then, and it was perfect. His character was perfect for Smoky Mountain because he could. It's an instant heel heat. Just all he's surrounded. You heard it in the promo. Surrounded by rednecks, and you know, had his finger on the pulse of pop culture. He knew what to, you know, what to do and what to say and what buttons to push, and he was the perfect guy for it. Out of him and Kama Mustafa, I always wanted to say Mustafa Saeed, he was head and shoulders a way better talker, way better promo. Even I'd even say way better wrestler too.
So then we fast forward to June 17th, 1995. I'm sorry, Jay. It wasn't double tables. It was called barbed wire hoodies and choke slams. I was at this event. It's on VHS. I want to get it again. I don't have it. It was amazing. It was my first or second ECW event. And it was nothing short of brilliant. I'll run down the card real quick before I get into the Broad Street Bully, which was beat the New Jersey Devil.
There's a name.
Mikey Whipwreck defeated the big Valpuccio from the Bronx. Valpuccio was like 700 pounds, legit. Vampire Warrior, Gangrel, beat the Shaw Hack Myers.
Uh-huh.
Tommy Dreamer defeated the Vampire Warrior after that with Luna Vachon. 9-1-1 beat Jungle Jim Steele.
Hell yeah. Jungle Jim Steele.
Yeah, he ran his mouth and not good.
9-1-1 game.
Not good, yeah. Beulah McGillicuddy, the future Mrs. Tommy Dreamer, with Raven and Stevie Richards, defeated Luna Vachon.
Hey now.
Two Cold Scorpio with Taz, defeated the Pit Bulls and Raven. And the main event was the Sandman defending his ECW World Championship. He beat Cactus Jack in a barbed wire match.
Ah.
And he won by TKO. But the Public Enemy were out there doing their thing. And where is it? Was it the Pit Bulls? Yeah. So the match was supposed to be Public Enemy defending the Tag Team Championship against Axel Rotten and a tag team partner of his choosing. It came out to be Ian Rotten. And then Bill Alfonso was playing the role of the no.
Uh-huh.
He was like the anti-violent referee. You guys can't do this. You guys lost a match in 1994. In November, you can't team together. Whatever. So Public Enemy was dancing in the ring. They had no match. And then this happened. Hold on a second.
Rocking. A couple of fans just jumped in the ring. Those aren't fans. What are they doing here? They're destroyed. He just hit Johnny Grunge between the eyes with a pipe. ECW Tag Team Champion. He's raking the forehead of Johnny Grunge. They don't wrestle here. They don't work here. Who in the hell let them in the building? Enemy is in dire straits. Rock and Grunge have been bloody. Oh my, across the top rope. We've got to get some help in here. Come put a stop to this. They can't do this. They don't even work here. Oh my, down across Rocco Rock. Can we get some help? The gangsters have invaded the ECW arena.
Yeah, so what was fucked up was Public Enemy really had no friends, even though they were a face tag team. Now they were ruthless, and
this was just their start of the face role.
Yeah, and they were supposed to fight the new breed, the bad breed. I'm sorry, actually Rotten, but Bill Alfonso wouldn't allow it. And they had no opponents, so they were dancing in the ring, and I was dancing with them, and then y'all dancing. All of a sudden, the fucking gang. I'm like, what? And, of course, now this is, I'm 2 years removed. No, I'm a year removed from, a year. No, 2 years removed from high school. So I'm like, I'm almost 22 years old. I can remember the tapes we got from Smoky Mountain, and I was like, these guys are fucked up.
Oh, yeah, they were.
And the Aptamags didn't do them any justice, so it was like, wow. So, it was a big turn in ECW. They were just getting, Taz was injured. They had the whole gimmick there with Two Cold Scorpio. And then a month later, they brought the Steiners in. I remember that. I was there for that. Seeing Cactus Jack, and he came out to Born to Be Wild. I love that.
Yeah.
But seeing your hero up close like that in a barbed wire match after just watching King of the Death match,
Yeah.
So it was like, holy shit, man. It was like that. For me, that was surreal. I never saw a barbed wire match live before. That was the first time I saw that.
Yeah, well, he, especially Sandman. Sandman at this time too was.
We'll do this card. I'll see if RF has it.
Yeah. Oh God, I'd love to do it. Yeah. But Sandman was over at this time, and he was doing no wrong. He was still. I mean, he never looked like a wrestler. Like truly, never looked like a wrestler. But
neither Cactus Jack though.
But he had some really surprising moves and really, really good matches too. For ECW standards, obviously. But New Jack would be going on to, tag with Mustafa Saeed, and he would he'd win the belts, right? I forgot who they beat. They beat
where, in ECW?
Yeah.
Let's see. Where's the gimmick? Hold on a minute. Let's pull it back up. I'll pull up the gangsters, their gimmicks here.
He beat the Dudley Boys? Yeah, he might have beat the Dudley Boys.
They went on to hold ECW titles twice. They won them. Hold on a minute.
Oh, you know what? They might have actually beat the Eliminators, actually.
I'll say it right now.
More impressively.
They beat the Public Enemy March 6th, 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And then
New Jack is definitely somebody that.
And then they won him August 3rd. The Doctor is in. That's with Doctor Steve Williams and all the Doc. It was a Doc and Gordy thing.
Doc and Gordy.
It might have been Doc and Tommy Dreamer against Brian Lee. They won him. It was a four way dance involving the Bruce Brothers and the Samoan Gangster Party. That card was dope. That card had it was Mikey Whipwreck beating Devin Storm. Johnny Smith beat Louis Spicoli. Axel Rotten beat Devon. No contest. Stevie Richards defeated the Sandman with Missy Hyatt. Too Cold and beat Chris Jericho. That was a good match. Shane Douglas retained the ECW television title, or World TV title, against Pitbull 2. He put Pitbull 1 out of business, if you remember that. Halo and he, yeah. Brian Lee and Taz defeated Dr. Death and Tommy Dreamer. That was the match. And then the Gangsters. And then Sabu in the main event was a stretcher match. Sabu and Rob Van Dam.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, yeah. So the Gangsters were one-time Smoky Mountain champion, two-time ECW tag team champion, and then they won the UA one tag team title before they went to Smoky Mountain.
After
the Georgia run. They split in 97. They were a team for only a couple of years. They split. Mustafa left, and then he got Cronus because Saturn got hurt.
The Gangstanators. I mean, New Jack kind of backed himself into the gimmicks with the, came to the ring with the garbage can, and, he would blade every match. And I mean, you weren't expecting much, from a New Jack match, but you were getting entertained. And then, come 98, 99, he was, every building they went into, he would be jumping off something through a table. And, I think it definitely was 2000, I know, with he had, like, that never-ending feud with the Baldies. And he had a match with Vic Grimes. I forget where it was. Was it Living Dangerously or Heat Wave or something?
There's so many. Him and Spike were a tag team for a while.
Yeah, but they would always same thing. They would always do the gimmick matches, and he. But the story went with him and Vic Grimes up on the top, where Vic Grimes they're on top of the somewhere, and Vic Grimes gets fucking cold feet, and New Jack's like, well, we're going one way or the other. So New Jack went first, and he pulled him off, and
that was in a shoot interview.
Yeah,
right? I saw the same one.
Fractured his skull, and supposedly, he said in the Dark Side of the Ring, Vic Grimes never reached out to him, never called him to see how he was, and a year later they were in XPW Once again, this is where we're going to blur that line between if it didn't happen in a wrestling ring, it'd be attempted murder.
We should do a couple of those. I have those.
I have a few XPW, too, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're doing the scaffold match, and, you know, the story with Sandman telling him he had the fucking stun gun, and he's telling Sandman, he goes, yeah, I'm going to stun his ass, and you could see it. Once again, this is why I say he's absolutely polarizing, because, you know, he's taking full advantage of his trust that is established within. You could see it from both sides. Like, you're giving your body to the other person in the ring, and you're supposed to trust them with your body, and that's sacred, and I get that. But, you know, in the same sense, I guess when you piss New Jack off, it's never over until New Jack says it's over.
Right. So, I mean, and this is the thing which rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way, because the business took a turn, obviously, in the 90s, right? So it's like, you know, everything got, like you said, those lines were blurred. You had the Monday Night Wars going on. Everything was tits and ass and violence, yep. And, you know, and then, you know, you had Japan with the death matches, and then, of course, and then the late 90s, you had the combat zones of the world, and yep. Just the world was changing, and mainstream wrestling was changing anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give New Jack any kind of credit to and give him a rub, I don't want to say that, that's the wrong word. If you want to give him any accolades in terms of his contributions,
that's a good word.
To the business, it's the fact that he never took away from his character, and he never like switched it up. He never toned it down. And he only went somewhere where he was allowed to do whatever he wanted, basically.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I mean, he was in TNA too, but it was like, listen, this is who I am. And he stayed true, you know, to his character. And listen, a lot of guys, only a couple of guys in the business can actually say they did that.
Like, without a doubt.
Like Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Guys who like never changed. I mean, Ricky Steamboat never went heel, but like Flair was both, but like never changed it up.
Yeah,
never changed it up. And you know, I don't want to sit here because New Jack's dead and say he was one of my favorites. He wasn't. I never really liked the Gangsters. I never saw them. I mean, and I got a new respect for them though, because a couple of months ago, Mustafa was on with what the hell is his name? The guy who worked with Cornette and OVW. He was a big guy. Now he's not that big anymore. The King. What the hell's his name? The guy from Louisville, the heavyset guy. He was on the rant too. And what the hell's his name? Oh, he's Cornette's best. I mean, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Brian Less?
No. It's oh God. He managed John Cena and OVW.
The Starmaker.
Kenny Bolin. Mustafa was on Kenny Bolin's podcast a couple months ago. And Kenny does this thing where he's got some ties to the Philippines. And every time he raises money for the Philippines, and people want to ask questions, and they'll live pay him while he's streaming on Facebook.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then he'll ask, but Mustafa came on. He was pretty candid about him being injured and whatever. Spoke about New Jack, nothing bad, but you know, him and Jack just didn't get along at one point. That was it. Yeah. You know, it was no controversy.
Well,
really.
Let's call it what it is. New Jack is probably a hard person to get along with.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah, and you know, I don't want to cast judgment, and I feel bad because a lot of these ECW originals were like posting stuff online. And I was telling Jay this in pre-production, and they would just listen, Joel's a friend of the show. You know, we've hung out with Joel, and Joel's been on the show, and you know, he'll do no wrong.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, and he still contributes, and he's such a good person. And plus, he's from Brooklyn. You can't even knock that. But you know, if you're close to somebody and they pass away, the fans have this fucking outlet. Here we go again. Like, you know, like, yeah. Let the guy fucking, he's not even turned over in his grave
yet.
Yeah,
he's not even cold in the grave.
And like Jay said, we don't know all the stories with the kid, the trans kid, and you know, whatever. But I don't want to judge. He was entertaining for what he was, and he had a cult following.
Yeah.
A lot of those hardcore guys did.
Yeah.
Sabu. Sabu's an asshole.
Yeah.
Sabu, the last thing we heard about Sabu when he worked for PWS, he tore a hotel room apart, smeared shit on the wall, drugs, and all this, you know. And we saw him at a match a couple of years ago. He was terrible. Yeah. But, like, you know, it was like, I just, you know, I never had a problem. I like seeing Sabu because he was, again, he could call follow. All those guys who put their bodies on the line had a cult following. Guys like him and Hayabusa, Yujiro, Mick Foley, was, you know, all these guys that put their bodies on the line for the craft. And basically that's how they earn their living. Now they're crippled, but they did. And this is the risk they took.
Well, and I think you could put New Jack in there as well.
Yeah, you have to.
And like you said, he's somebody that he never wavered. He was always true to himself, out, you know, albeit maybe too much, you know.
Yeah, oh no, 100%.
You know, where... You know, he stabbed a guy legitimately like 8 or 9 times in the ring in like 04, I think it was, 04, 05 in Florida. And Jack, you know, it was in the Vice Dark Side of the Ring where he was in jail and the guy came in and he's like, listen, I'll drop all charges, you know, and he's looking to work with New Jack. He's like, yeah, man, drop the charges. We'll take this all around the circuit. We'll make some money. And New Jack just fucking hightailed it out of town. He wanted to get the hell out of there. That is unequivocally New Jack. And that's the New Jack I like to see. But I want to talk about his shoot interviews. Like, his shoot interviews were, like you said, arguably better than his in-ring product. You know? I mean, he really made, because he told things from his side, and it was brash, and it was, you know, usually drug riddled or vodka riddled. I think he was a big fan of the vodka, and you know, he told great stories. He knew how to captivate people, and I know he was always on RF video shoots, you know, for good reasons too, you know, because.
He did some cool shit. If you owned the terrible Anarchy Rules video game, I don't know if you did. I know I did. It was terrible.
I rented it from Palma Video.
His New Jack's theme song was him on lyrics and Bootsy Collins on the music.
Really?
And if you guys all know, I mean, Jay and I are musicians, so we know Bootsy. If you don't know who Bootsy Collins is, he's a famous bass player for Parliament.
Yeah.
And Sly and the Family Stone. But yeah, and Bootsy was also, he did a Groove Was in the Heart too.
Yeah.
That D-Light song from the 90s. Because Natural Born Killers was an Ice Cube Dr. Dre song, which that's iconic if you're a hip-hop fan because, you know, when N.W.A. broke up, just a sidetrack, Cube, like, went on a solo career and he fucking destroyed the whole crew on, like, his first album or two.
Yeah.
And then Dre became a gazillionaire producer. And his first couple albums, then he went into the whole headphone thing and whatever. Yeah. But after Eazy-E died, they kind of squashed. But him and Dre got together on Natural Born Killers, and it was a big fucking deal in hip hop. And it was a good song, man.
That's a great song.
I'm not even into West Coast rap a lot, really. And I love Cube though. I love Cube solo stuff. That first album, well, America's Most Wanted was dope, and then the second one was good. And then, but no, The Predator was good too with Wicked and yeah, the Chili Peppers were in that video too. Him and Flea is smashing shit with mallets. And he was in Beyond the Mat.
Yep.
He was on the obviously, and then if you listen to a song by Weezer called El Scorcho, they reference him.
Really?
You know what? Maybe let me see if I can. I'm gonna pull it up.
I had no idea about that.
I should have pulled this up. Hold on a minute. El Scorcho.
Rivers Cuomo is a huge New Jack fan.
He's a ECW. He's a wrestling fan.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Definitely did not know that.
Let me see. It's a good song too.
He Well, like, and especially like going back to the Nacho Boy.
Replace your notebooks and printed documents with the Remarkable 2. The only that feels
I
like
tried to
paper.
Open up on YouTube and I get the fucking, now my
Take
computer
notes.
Freezes.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Hold on a minute.
Leave it. The Nacho Boy Killer song is just iconic in and of itself.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Hold on. I asked you to go to the Green Day concert. You said you never heard of them. How cool is that? So I went to your room and read your diary. Watching grunge leg drop New Jack to a press table. And then my heart stopped listening to Cho Cho Sam.
Yeah, ain't that something?
Fall in love all over again.
How many people listen to that go, who the fuck is Vic Grimes?
No, it's Grunge, Johnny Grunge.
Oh, Grunge? Oh, you said Johnny Grunge?
Watching Grunge leg drop New Jack through a press table. I was a big Weezer fan. Yeah. I liked Weezer. And when I first heard that, of course, I popped because I knew who it was.
Yeah. That's actually really good. And, that's how you can gauge somebody, you know, their impact with this. And, listen. He's worthy enough for us to do a half a show on.
Yeah, Ribbons took it from he saw it on a magazine and then he watched it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
But it could show you who he was, you know, as a performer and as an icon. I mean, he's iconic with wrestling. Probably for wrong reasons, bad reasons maybe. But like I said, whether he's beating Gypsy Joe up with a fucking barbed wire bat and
the Gypsy Joe thing, I gotta side with New Jack on this one because this dude is like 107 years old, doesn't sell.
Yeah.
And he's a legit tough guy. He was like in his 70s, right?
He was
like
60 something, 68, right? 67.
Yeah, he was pushing 70 and he was really in decent shape for his age, but he was a little frail and he didn't sell. So Jack was like, fuck this guy and beat him up.
Yeah.
But
supposedly there was something backstage and listen. Once again, I mean, you listen to New Jack tell it, you just go, yeah, I think that guy.
Yeah.
I think that guy had it coming.
Here's something I didn't know, Jay. He was on the him and this guy is any wrestler Jay Lover was on the Daily Show on May 9th, 2013. I have to look it up in a segment entitled "Stay Out of School." Now you mentioned his shoot videos, right? In 2008, he did a shoot video with the Iron Sheik and Honky Tonk.
Yes,
Man,
I've seen clips.
Where the Chris Benoit double murder was discussed, right?
So it's funny, I watched it last night.
You did? Okay.
It really is like and you could just tell, I don't know what they're on and whatever's going on there, but he talks about how he was friends with woman and.
Yeah. She said he commented that nothing could excuse what Benoit done. Or anybody in WWE or elsewhere defending Benoit from public scrutiny were hypocrites. He also thought that it was ironic how ECW was seen as a violent and dangerous promotion where drug use was encouraged, yet there was only one person who died during Young's 5-year tenure with the company, mm-hmm. whereas WWE, they averaged 3 deaths a year. In the same interview, he said he accused Vince of murder and helped falsifying wrestlers' drug tests. And then he said he he expressed hatred towards Paul Lee, notably because of the lying to his employees and cheating him out of the paychecks. So you said you saw this, right?
Yeah. So that, like to me, there's a few things to touch there, but one, everything he's saying there is correct. It's hard to argue. you look at it objectively. It's hard to argue his points there. He went into this. It was an absolute monologue. That's the easiest way to pull it. Yelling, cursing. But he's right. Nothing excuses that. No matter what you, I personally, this is just my opinion, I have no problem watching a Chris Benoit match because I'm watching it with, I think, the right perspective in the sense of, you know, it was I'm not excusing what he did, no, by any stretch of the word, but he, what was, you know, what he did before that was he did have a great body of work, you know, within the confines of the wrestling ring, but New Jack, you know, was talking about it as a friend of Nancy and, you know, as a father, you know, you look at it differently, and I can absolutely get that, and it was absolutely, you know, something was in that room chemically, because all three of them, but...
As Bianca Belair retains against Bayley.
Yeah, and Bayley's going against Michael Cole for whatever reason.
Yeah, leave Mitchell Cole alone.
But... You know, he everything he said there, though, and that's what I say about going back to Paul Heyman, you know, another guy who, you know, he's apologized for everything he's done, you know, but if you try to look at it where it was like the means justify the end or whatever, the end justifies the means.
Right.
Type of thing, and he was just trying to keep the product on and keep it open one more week, and, you know, but to lie to your employees and lie to your friends, and
listen, that, like I said, you can do an entire fucking podcast,
which we probably should.
You can the way we want to break down Vince, you could probably do the same thing about Paul Lee.
Yeah,
there's so many things that were intriguing about him even when he started out early in his career. It's like, you know, it was just it. Oh, the Rob Van Dam, they're doing the.
I think it's coming on
is
tonight.
Is it on tonight?
I think it's gonna be on.
Oh,
tonight.
Oh, I love this. I love those icons. The Yokozuna one was good. Beth Phoenix one was good.
I didn't see the Beth Phoenix one yet. The Yokozuna one I seen was great.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam was so good to watch live. Sorry, we're just watching we told you we're gonna be doing this as we to record tonight. But yeah, I'm very excited for this. I want to see this. If it's on tonight, I'm gonna try to watch it before I crash out.
But
yep, there you go. Yep. Perfecto.
But he you know, just to kind of put a bow on New Jack, you know, you don't put him in the same vein as Chris Benoit, but you could differentiate the stuff that he's done. You could just go, all right, man, that's a little over the top and shouldn't have done that type of thing. But, you know, in the same sense, you know, in his head, he felt that it was right. Like, he, you know, when he stabbed the guy, he felt disrespected. Like, he was getting shots laid in on him in the ring. Once again, I'm not defending somebody stabbing somebody else.
I'm glad you're not.
But, you know, at that point, and like I said, it's just funny how you can blur, you know, within the confines of a wrestling ring, you know, attempted murder, it just goes ignored. It's the magic of New Jack, you know, and
yeah.
You know, and he had a short lived podcast. I think that's what he was meant to do, and I think I'm gonna remember him more for his shoot interviews than what he did inside the ring, because, like I said, I think he was underrated in the sense of that he can work, and he just, you know, he painted himself into a corner, and, you know, you can't, you know, there's a reason why the AC/DC takes, you know, breaks in between albums and tours, because you can't keep up, Brian Johnson can't keep that voice alive like that, you know, and you paint yourself into a corner, you know, and he did what he had to do, and he was always that guy. He never worked for the E. I know there was a story that he was going to be, I think it was, what was it with Cena? He was going to be stabbing Cena or something in a club or something. I forget.
I don't recall. I forget. You might know more about this than I do.
I forget Cena was feuding with, but there was talks about bringing New Jack in.
Oh.
But He would never fit.
He
would never fit.
He wouldn't cooperate.
Wouldn't cooperate.
That's not his bag. If he can't do his thing.
Yeah.
Nothing was, I mean, the only thing that was scripted was the outcome of most of his matches, right?
Yeah.
But everything else was ad-libbed and freestyled, and you can't tell somebody like him, listen, we're gonna write your promos for you.
That would never fucking happen.
That's how he made his money, basically.
Yeah.
It wasn't stabbing people. It was just the promos. Because his promos were outstanding.
Stabbing people came later.
Way later. But yeah, man. Yeah, I didn't think we spent an hour on New Jack, what we just did. But it's fine. I mean, it is what it is. I think it's just, like Jay said, very polarizing and very, very unique. And a cult following. And I don't mind, as an ECW hard, I was a fan, dude. I told you I was there 3-4 times a year in Philly for them.
Yeah.
And I only missed one New York show, so I'm a fan. So I feel like I can do this justice by giving him a couple of minutes on our show because you know, it is what it is.
And that's what it, and it's not, we're not excusing the things he did. I think we call it as it is, but he
wasn't a nice person, you know. It's just that his contribution, you can't ignore his contributions to the game, man. You can't. A lot of guys, listen, if I was emotionally invested in what some of my favorite athletes and musicians did, I think we mentioned this on the show already. Ozzy was not a nice person. He's the best frontman to ever live.
Yeah.
You know? But he cheated on his wife, he did a bunch of drugs, he pissed on the Alamo, and, you know, whatever, but, you know, if I emotionally invested in that, I wouldn't be a fan.
Well, what's funny now is, like, you said that about Ozzy, and it shows you how different life is. Like, 20 years ago, I heard that, I'm like, yeah, man, that's fucking awesome. Like, I hear that now, and I'm like,
what a dick.
Yeah, it's kind of a dick thing to do.
It's a dick move. But, you know, the Benoit thing is, I loved Chris Benoit. I mean, he was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. So, do I excuse what he did? No, of course not. But, like, you can't disregard his accolades in the ring. You can't.
I mean,
you can?
No, you can't. And I agree because I think, like you said, with everything in life, it's perspective. You know. We're not listen, Benoit's never going into the Hall of Fame. I that goes without saying. It doesn't matter. He can somehow or another find out, you know.
Same thing with Pete Rose. Pete Rose is the all-time hit leader in Major League Baseball. Pete Rose did the one thing they told him not to do.
Yeah.
Bet on baseball.
Yep.
And not only did he bet on baseball, he lied about it.
Yes.
And then when they thought about bringing him back, he lied again.
Yeah.
So it's like, listen, how many times is Pete Rose going to get a pass? He's not.
Yeah.
And no one's breaking that record, Jay.
Nah. No, there's no shot.
No. The home run record was broken by...
Cheating.
Basically. But when it wasn't even a thing. And that's a baseball podcast.
Yeah.
But you see my point. Like,
well, and that's what I mean.
I still love Pete Rose, but he's an asshole.
I'm in... It's funny. I guess it's... Time's a funny thing. I'm in a different point in my life, you know, with you know, being with the Queen and her two beautiful kids, you know, I guess maybe I'm looking at it from more of a parent's eye.
Of a grown up. Yeah, I just raised a kid for almost 10-12 years.
I find it there's no excuse and there's no excuse for what transpired that day. That's kind of what New Jack says in that epic fucking monologue.
Right.
He says no matter what happens, no matter what she says or does, nothing excuses what he did. And I
you're right. You're 100% right. You're 100% right.
But I can once again call a spade where, like, what he did inside the confines of the ring, Chris Benoit being, you know, who for that matter, I can differentiate for that moment, as long as the match lasts, I can differentiate. Like, he was good. That's where it starts and stops. That's all I ever need to do. Because, and then anything else other than that is kind of celebrating it. And, like, you can't defend it. Like, you can't defend it type thing, you know.
even you know, like I said, like the stuff about Paul Heyman, like I mean, we're having an open, honest discussion where, like, where do you stand? We know. I'm trying to figure out how to word it.
You want to hold this for the break?
Yeah. Let's hold it for the break.
Let's take a quick break because I have to pee. And I want to answer your question without thinking about going to the bathroom. We got a Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's Phil. It's Jay. Thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We appreciate you, even though we're not live, but we're live recorded. What were you saying? What were we called?
Live to tape.
Live to tape. Thank you, Warner Wolf. We'll be right back. Lord Alfred Hayes, take us to the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers. Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
This is Doc Gallows and the Machine Gun Carl Anderson, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass Choppy, and that's just
too sweet ski. Woohoo!
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah. Speaking of AC/DC, huh? Did I put it in your head?
You did. I love this album, Stiff Upper Lip.
Yeah?
I saw them in 2008, and my first time ever seeing them, and they did a whole lot of Rosie, right, live?
Oh, yeah.
And they had a big inflatable plus-size woman on the stage. My buddy was the medic at Madison Square Garden and told me that Angus needed 2 bags of fluid. Apparently, he gets 2 bags of fluid after every show.
I believe it. Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, you know, like there's a you don't get, you know, famous for that. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, like when you're in the, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
You don't phone it in at that point.
Like no.
You still got to go.
No, yeah, you know, and it was, and Black something Cherry?
Black Stone Cherry.
They opened up. They were pretty good.
I love Black Stone Cherry.
Big Train Rolling. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good song.
You
mentioned them a couple months ago. We were coming home listening to Eddie Trunk. From one of our shows, was still recording at Choppies. All right, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, live on the Rant. It's Phil, it's Jay. It is live to tape.
Live to tape.
I think I'm going to call it that, live to tape.
Live to tape.
Live to tape.
It works.
Episode 405, I think it's 405, 40, I think it's 405, 406, whatever. But, yeah, so Jay and I are out this evening. We're going to be out this evening when this goes off. And, gonna be just enjoying. I have a party to go to. Jay's going on a little vacation.
Yeah, doing a little long siesta, weekend.
Little long weekend, little siesta. Listen, it's gonna come to that. I know in June I'm going away, so I'm gonna leave Jay to his devices. We're gonna either pre-record or Jay's gonna give you one of his shows, and then hopefully Choppy's back by then. And you know, it's a couple times. Before you know it, it's the 9-year anniversary.
Yep,
which is gonna be the second weekend. Technically, it's 4th of July weekend, so July 3rd is on a Sunday this year, so we're not going to do a 4th of July weekend. We're going to be doing it the following weekend.
Yeah, I think
and
we're going to,
as soon as we work out the details, we have an idea we want to do, and I think it's going to be fantastic. We'll keep you guys invested, but thank you very much for hanging out with us. As always, we appreciate you. Always, 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 always.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now, you had a question for me?
Yeah, Because seeing the thing by Paul Heyman made me really like think about how we love Paul Heyman. I love Paul Heyman. I think everything he's done for the business is from a genuine spot. But why the deceit? Why did he feel like he had to do that stuff to get where he was? Do you think that he... Because there's no doubt, like, I would think that the way that New Jack felt about Paul Heyman, he would just call out probably Paul Heyman and call him a fucking liar, and, like, you don't feel that way. But I don't know. I don't think he was acting with that. That's my opinion. Like, where do you stand with that?
I think, and this is not the first time someone's asked me this, actually, so I'm glad that you're asking me this, because I could answer the same way. I think he went with one business motto and never changed it up. I think that he just wanted to keep it as original as it was. I think he wanted to keep it as authentic as it was. The problem was, though, I think he was too much invested in what ECW could have been and what it was.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when they got the Nashville Network deal, right, the TNN deal,
mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, but then Vince cut a deal with them for Raw, and it was like, all right, and then there was no advertisement, and then the whole mass transit thing with the pay-per-view was like, okay, we'll give you pay-per-view, but we're gonna have to start an hour later,
yeah.
And it was like, but then apparently he was owed money because, you know, there was so many things that, and the problem was he wanted to retain the talent, and with the intent of getting all these monies from different entities, and it never panned out that way.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, it wasn't like he woke up with a Rolodex and like, who am I going to fuck over today?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, and you know, you could tell that he was genuine. I mean,
watch that ECW thing you did with a couple months ago with Corey Graves and all those guys and Taz? And
yes.
Okay. So it was like, even Bubba was like, you know, we all took different roles. Like, you know, they would, who did merch?
Mm-hmm.
Who was booking at one point? Bubba was booking. Tommy Dreamer was booking. Like,
yep.
Who made T-shirts? Who the money? Like, you know, it was like he wanted to protect it to the point where he couldn't anymore, and he wanted to retain guys, and he couldn't. Because guys, you know, this is their livelihood. This is how they feed their families.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then, you know, what bothered me the most about the whole situation was him working for WWE while he was going for bankruptcy in ECW. So it was like, okay, all these guys are sitting home getting no money, but yeah, and he shows up on fucking Raw one night, and it was like, you know.
Well, that's what I mean.
You know, so, you know, did he deliberately do that? No, he got an opportunity, and he took it. It wasn't like he woke up and said, I'm going to fuck these guys over. Ha ha, I'm on TV. You're not. You know, I'm making money. You're not.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, but he also, I don't know if he did.
I don't think he did. And, you know,
I don't think he paid back any of the debts, per se, that he owed. I don't know. I know he was, I don't think he paid back like the Tommy Dreamers. And I know he owed Raven money. He owed Douglas money. I think he's, you know, I believe. A lot of these guys never got paid what possibly Rob Van Dam was another one. So, you know, I think that's where that sliminess maybe comes into play.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it may be rightfully placed there. But, you know, he, you know, and 'cause it's, it is kind of funny to see how we hold him in such high regard as from a fan standpoint. But I know like the Good Brothers, when they left, they were telling the story about when they left, like, you know, they got lied to right to their face from Heyman. And I find, and I remember hearing that just going, wow, you know, that I find that hard to believe, but like, I would just imagine that he would love, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. I thought that would be like, that would be like a go-to move for him to like, and you know, invest in those guys and give them the ball. But apparently he just kind of just said something to them to, you know, string them along in like an old Heyman like way. Yeah, I guess like how he got a lot of guys to do, you know, do all the stuff that he did. In you know, in ECW or what have you. I find it odd, you know, that he's so polarized in, you know, it's the only word I can really think of right now, in within the wrestling business. Like, if you love him, you love him, but there's guys that just fucking straight hate him.
Well, I mean, if you cut my legs from under me and I can't feed my family or pay my bills or my mortgage, I'm not gonna like you very much.
Yeah.
We're watching this three way now for the Raw title between Bobby Lashley defending against McIntyre and Braun Strowman, and Bobby Lashley just got thrown into the side of the Titantron.
Yeah.
And like with electric sparks and stuff like that, so maybe that's gonna put him out. We'll see what happens. Not the Titantron, the Thunderdome thing.
Thunderdome.
Yeah. 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 This guy.
WrestleMania Backlash.
Dummy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I mean, we're a little over an hour. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up? We got an hour and 20 in, so I mean, I don't know what you want to... I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about before we head out, or we're good?
I would love to sit there and talk about... I'm trying to think of like anything else I've really kind of been harping on. Oh, apparently backstage at the AEW, there's really not much heat backstage, but I don't know, man. Like, I still think there's a little smoke to that fire.
Yeah, I was telling Michael and I, Hammo and I, were talking about this yesterday because he stayed over after the show, and he said he's reading off his phone. He's like, you know, he goes, all this heat, he says to me.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I said, this is why you don't mix business with friendship a lot, because a lot of times, you know, when it comes to business and finances and stuff like that, you know, you're so hard trying to keep the friendship, and now it's like when there's money involved and there's stuff involved, it's like you can't. Now, I heard it was Matt's not talking to Nick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Like, listen, you know what? This is what these guys wanted. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the Bucks could have just stayed the course and just banked because they were making money hand over foot off of their merch and their bookings. They were booking, they were millionaires off of t-shirts alone.
Yeah.
Okay. None of these guys were hard up for money, and they would have been successful no matter what. The problem was when they start this company now with Tony Khan, the money mark, the main man, who I love what they're trying to do, and I think it's, you know, more wrestling for us the better. But you know, if there's really that gripe behind the scenes, it's like, you know, at one point do you put your friendship ahead of the business, you know, ahead of their business, the company, not the wrestling business.
Yeah.
Because now they're all got their own programs going on now. Cody thinks he's a main eventer. He's not. You agree? Did you disagree?
I disagree to an extent. I think he's trying to be too much like Dusty.
I don't think he's that great in the ring. I think he's good. He's solid. He's not a great performer. His dad, the difference between him and his dad put asses in the seats.
Yes.
No one's paying to see Cody Rhodes. You might pay to get one of his 9,000 variants of his action figure right now, which are going for a lot of money, by the way.
Yes.
His limited edition ones are going for a lot of money. God bless him. No one's paying to see him.
No.
I paid to see Kenny Omega main event. Mm-hmm. Okay? I paid to see the Young Bucks main event. I paid to see those guys main event in Ring of Honor in New Japan with the G1, right? I'm not paying. Strowman just power bombed fucking
McIntyre
to the table. It looked menacing. You know, that spot's always done, but look at this replay, Jay. He catches him. Look at this pure brutality. He's a beast, man.
Yeah,
Braun Strowman's an animal.
And he's in great shape.
Oh,
right,
yeah, he's in great shape.
He's in tip-top shape.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But, like, I'm not paying to see Cody Rhodes. When I go to an AEW, if AEW tours again here.
Which I hear they're going to be coming around August, September, October.
That's perfect, right around our birthdays.
Yep.
If we go to see, we're going to see AEW.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I'm not paying to see Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Unless he's fighting Hangman Page for the title or Kenny Omega for the title. I'm sorry, dude. I don't see the appeal like that. I'm not emotionally invested like a lot of guys are.
I think he is, I think he's trying to be a little too much like the old man. Which I get it, you know, like I get what he's trying to do. But like something like that, man, like you gotta, I don't know, man, like you kind of, you gotta be, what's the old saying? What is Bruce Lee say? You gotta be like water. Don't.
Be the water.
Yeah, you got to
concentrate on the finger. I'm sorry.
Oh, Drew McIntyre just hit him with the claymore, and Bobby Lashley.
And now
came
Bobby
back
Lashley's
in.
Back, and now
Good.
he's gonna pinch Strowman.
Good.
He's gonna pinch Strowman.
I don't want Lashley to win. I don't want Lashley to lose yet.
Lashley taking advantage of the 1, 2, 3. And three.
Yep.
There you go. That's
claymore spear for the win. Bobby Lashley retains. I think. You know, I think you can stretch this out to SummerSlam. I think you could stretch this out to SummerSlam at the very least, if not. Keep it going. Brock Lesnar comes, and we get a nice Brock Lesnar against Lashley match. I think what AEW's finding themselves in is they're kind of, you could tell that there's so many different philosophies backstage. You got Cody, who is trying to keep it as old school as he can. The Young Bucks and Omega are doing their own thing. I think, you know, the stuff inside the ring is good. But at what point do you give do you give the wrestlers too much creative control, too much to say in their character, where you dilute what you're going for, you know, and whatever that may be, because even like the stuff with, you know, with Kenny Omega being the belt collector, which I don't know what happened with Impact over the weekend, but you know, even that's getting a little convoluted, and you know,
that was
which I love. I think so. Yeah, I think it was hard to kill.
Let's pull the results off.
Which I love him being the belt collector and him taking over as the best wrestler in the world.
Oh, it was
like
tonight.
That,
no,
was it tonight? It might have been
January 16th. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Good.
But I love what they're doing, but once again, where's the end game? Like, you know, are we going to be looking back? You know how we look back at stuff from we can tell where they're going now, but like here, like when you're in the middle of it, you can't tell what's happened. Like Cody Rhodes feuding with QT Marshall and then going with this Anthony Ogogo, like it's just.
But this
and you're trying to do the Patriot, American made, stand up for what we believe in, kind of touching on pop culture, which I like. But the Anthony Ogogo, he hasn't wrestled. Like, I would almost rather this. I mean, I want Pac to be the champion. I want him to be, you know, in the main event. But this would almost be better if it was Pac against Cena. I would.
Yeah, but if Pac is in the title picture, then why would you even put him against Cody, who's not going for the title?
You can use Cody as a stepping. Cody's gonna.
But there's plenty of fight Pac, whatever you say. I'm not saying not use Cody. I'm saying you could throw any. There's a bunch of guys that are, you know, contending.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the. It was exclusively on Impact Plus, which we have.
Which I always forget we have.
Taurus, Tennille Dashwood, and Taylor Lee and Susan. Kimberly was a chick that fought Chris Dickinson, if you remember that.
Yes, I do remember that, actually.
Number one tag contender match, Ace Austin and Madman Fulton versus Triple XL. And then versus Raju and Shera versus TJP and Petey Williams. Ace and Madman won that. Will Morrissey beat Willie Mack? You know Will Morris.
Oh, yeah.
Knockouts Championship, my future baby mama, Jordan Grace, and Paul Ellering's daughter, Rachel, beat Fire and Flavor. I'm sorry, they lost the Fire and Flavor retained the titles. El Fantasmo from the Bullet Club making his Impact debut on pay-per-view. He lost to Josh Alexander for the X Division Championship by ankle lock. Deanna Purrazzo retains the Knockouts Women's Championship. And Eddie Edwards and Finn Juice defeated the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega. World Championship number one, Moose defeated Sammy Callahan, Matt Cardona, Chris Sabin, Trey Miguel, and Chris Bay.
Hey, now. Chris Bay apparently is a big to-do in, you know, in the wrestling sheets, as it were.
We'll stick with Impact. Apparently, they removed Don Callis off of their producer's stuff, and he's off their roster, apparently. Apparently, he's not working for them anymore.
Really?
That's the rumor. And he's
going
to be exclusively a manager for Kenny Omega and AEW. So we'll see how that pans out. I don't know how good. This is all like this dirt sheet crap. Day before Memorial Day. So we'll preview that when we come back from our little hiatus.
A little extendo weekend.
Anything else before we head out of here?
I think that's it, brother.
All right, let's get out of here.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Always tuning in. Yeah.
Sorry, you know, thank you for the live to tape.
I love it.
You know all the gimmicks?
Yeah, that's right, Jay.
Yeah.
You know all the gimmicks.
You know all the social media gimmicks.
Go buy a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Be a mark. Buy a shirt. Email. You know, got an email today. Actually, I forgot.
Why is hold on a minute. That for a minute. I'll do it again. We got an email from a fan asking us to do some Mid-South. I got an email this morning from a fan.
I am in on that. You know, I haven't
watched. We actually, it's funny because he asked me, because I've been watching a lot of Mid-South. You guys are awesome. So I want to give a Facebook page. And yeah, Jay and I, and actually Choppy before he left was talking about doing that. So
yeah, I'm in. Yeah. I think we should definitely do it.
Yeah. So you guys don't know the handles, like Jay said. And thank you for hanging out with us. And we'll definitely do some Mid-South, I want to say, soon.
Yeah.
I want to get Choppy back, man, because, I mean, there's so many things we want to do with him, and he's fucking...
So many things we got to catch up on
now.
On
location. Yeah. And I think that's it. Jay, anything else?
That's it, brother.
Guys, you're amazing as always. Thank you for hanging out with us. And you know the deal. We'll be back. Same bad time, same bad channel next week. And that's pretty much it. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.